Father, thank you for, we thank you for Jeremy. Thank you, Lord, that you have used him in a great way over these last couple of years as he's a new believer. And we pray that he would have an opportunity to grieve, and he would also be a great and powerful witness to his family and friends that will be there during this very difficult time. So we just want to thank you for that. We thank you, Father, for Bob Zerenner, just for his son Cole. We pray, we don't know what this knee situation is, but we'd ask that you give the doctors much wisdom. This could be corrected and relieve any concerns they have, Lord, and give them grace. Thank you now, Father, for this time we'll spend in your word and to learn from you, and we'll give you all the glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. If you'll recall, last week, Pat got up and made a comment at the end about how our wives tend to respond to our leadership, things we do and say or don't do and say. And so DR emailed me an hour ago and asked me if I'd speak on that. No, not really. I am cheating, though. I'm going to tell you I'm going to cheat right up front. We are watching our two grandchildren while my daughter is traveling around Europe enjoying herself with her husband. And we're 8 days, and one of them is three, and the other one's one. And it's just no sleep at all, barf all over the place, one of those things. So I've been up almost all night long, and when I was leaving, one of them was crying, and Kay said, you know, you've left me five mornings in a row. And so at any rate, so this is a great topic for me. Here's what I'm going to do. About 35 years ago, I was at a seminar. And some of you have heard this, at least you've heard some of this, maybe. And the guy at the seminar was teaching, it was a conference, actually, for pastors, and he was teaching on the seven needs of a wife. And I'm going to go over that with you because I think this really fits with what we're talking about, what Pat brought up, particularly the response part, how they respond to our leadership. Now, if you are not married, at the end, our questions are going to come from the seven needs here. We're going to have you decide which of these needs do you think is greatest for your wife. If you're not married, girlfriend, or what you think most women would have a great need in, or your mother, what have you. We'll get to that later as we work our way through this. Ephesians chapter 5, if you look down at verse 22, it says this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so wives should submit to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, to make her holy for himself, cleansing her by the washing of water by the word." The first of the seven needs, and again, I'll just use this guy's outline, but it'll be my own little stories along the way here, is a wife needs to know that she has a spiritual leader as a husband. Now, spiritual leadership isn't just walking around with a Bible in your hand or praying all day. That isn't what it is at all. Spiritual leadership is your wife recognizing the fact that the decisions and the attitudes and the way that you conduct your life is biblical, or that you are hearing from God, or that you are living a life that is consistent with a scriptural basis to it. Because if she doesn't sense that, she'll be insecure. I can remember when it was probably about the 1970s when the Equal Rights Amendment was coming out in the 80s and the women's liberation. It was just an explosion of anger. Many of you probably remember it. And I would talk to women sometimes that were getting hooked up in this kind of thing and getting all riled up. And here's this passage here about wives submit to your husbands. The truth of the matter is that most women that are very, very irritated in our society and very upset because they want equal rights and this and that have either had a very bad experience with a father or a very bad experience with a husband. I can almost guarantee you. Because women are so designed by God to be under our spiritual leadership. And I said this a couple weeks ago in church. I said, whenever I do a wedding, I almost always talk a little bit about submission, and the crowd is not always friendly because they're all coming from RBC. They're coming from different places, and it's my opportunity to explain what this means. And when I do it, I will end by saying, you show me a man who is willing to give his life for his wife, and I'll show you a wife who has no problem submitting to her husband. And you'll just see that diffuse everything, because no matter what your background is, you're thinking, man, I would love to see that. So spiritual leadership is moving in a direction that where your wife really senses that you are in touch with God. And they're built to be responders. That's just the way they are. Just what Pat was saying, they respond to that. I remember probably that in my marriage, I've been married about 37 years now, and got married at just about 29. So I got off to a little bit of a late start. But I remember the worst demonstration of spiritual leadership that I've ever demonstrated. And DR said, how about telling us some times you drove it into the ditch? And this was one of them. I was coming back from John Woodall's house. We'd been down visiting in Florida. This was, and all four of mine were little or very young at that time. And I have this thing about pulling up to McDonald's or any kind of a drive-in with a lot of kids in the back seat and everybody barking out what they want, and you're already talking to somebody through a squawk box that you can't understand anything, and the person's from another country, and it sounds like, I'm McDonald's guy. You know, you heard one of those things. And I always say, listen, we're going to write it down, and I'm going to give you the order. No change orders. And so this time we pulled up, and I'm tired, and we got a long drive back, and I turned to Kay. I said, we're going to write every order down. I'm not going to get there and have Kelly give me part of the order and then change it. I'm trying to talk to this guy. I don't understand him. He doesn't understand me. And so Kay goes, we can handle it. We can handle it. I know you can. We can do this. Just go. I pull up. It's breakfast. It's early. And Kelly orders an egg McMuffin with no egg and no muffin or something, one of those things. And I'm trying to get this thing. And then I go to Megan. And then Kelly changes hers. I'm going back to the guy. Oh, it's good. That first one was, hold it, just a second. One of those things, you know. And now they're all talking. They're all changing it. And I just put it in drive and hit the floor about as far. And I shouldn't. Don't. This doesn't get out to the church. I peeled out of McDonald's. And I'm heading up the highway, and I am steaming. I'm so mad. I don't get that angry, you know, I'm not that kind of person, but I was really hot. Nobody's saying anything, nothing. I look at the gas tank, it's on empty, and so am I. And I pull in, and I get out of the car, and I stick that hose in there, and I could literally hear God say, you are a jerk. Stick your head in the car and ask your family to forgive you for your lack of leadership. And I said to the Lord, but they didn't write it down. And this was the agreement before. And he said, you're still a jerk. Get it? And I did. I had to apologize. But, you know, it set the tone, the whole tone of the family, my wife, everything. You know, you're talking about last week, setting the dial. Why didn't I just go through the whole deal and just do it? But I didn't. And I, unfortunately, I've done a number of those along the way through my life. But, you know, we set the stage, we set the tone, we set everything about our family. And so it's important. Spiritual leadership is your wife knowing that you are under the leadership of God himself, of Christ himself, and you're moving in that direction. Here's a second one. A wife needs to know that she is cherished. And cherished means to know that you delight in her as a person. I think this idea of being competitive and always wanting to win at an argument or what have you, probably the first that I learned this, and I've had a really good marriage. I really haven't had too many battles through the years and fights and that kind of thing. But I can remember in the very early stages coming home and saying things to Kay if things weren't going well. I would read verses to her or tell her or quote a verse to her. I would say something like, well, you know, you're really supposed to do such and such, submit or what have you. That goes over real well. And I've learned later that verse is for her. Wives, submit your husbands. That's not for me to tell her that it's for her. All right? You follow that? That is written to her. That's not written to me. Mine is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That's my verse. And if I do that, the other part takes care of itself. But I would come in sometimes, we'd get into a discussion, or it could be almost anything, and I'm pulling out Bible verses, and they're like scriptural grenades, and you just pull the pin, and here, take Ephesians 5:27, you know. And you do that kind of thing. It doesn't go over real well. And particularly with Kay, I would quote a Bible verse to her, and she would say, let me remind you of something. I've had 4 years of Bible college, and you've had 2. I know twice as much as you do. You don't need to quote any more scripture to me. And that would usually end that discussion. So we just move on to the next topic. But never go in and try to lead by quoting Bible verses. Doesn't go over real well. You can come in the back door. You can give the scriptural principles behind certain things. But it's mainly just leading in that. Cherishing your wife is delighting in her. Absolutely delighting in her. I've had to do this even with these last 7 or 8 days. Actually, it'll be 8 by Friday if the two of us maintain our sanity. But she's already said, where are we going to go for about an 8-month vacation after this? So I'm trying to plan something. But, you know, cherishing your wife is, you know, it's not hard to just every once in a while just pull her aside and just say, honey, I just can't tell you how much you mean to me, how much I appreciate you, how much you do. Just little tiny things like that. It goes a long way. Now, as we're going through this, you're to be thinking, which one is most important to your wife? Third one, being aware of her presence, even though your mind is on other matters. If I were to pick one that I fail in the most, this is it. Being aware of her presence, even though your mind is on other matters, that is would be spelled out this way. You come home from the office or what have you, and you sit down and you're trying to decompress. You've had a long day. You've listened to a lot of problems or whatever's going on. She's had a equally difficult time, and she is going to start testing to see if you're in tune with her presence, with who she is, with what's going on. And she'll throw out little things like, what would you like for dinner? What would you like to drink for dinner? You want tea or coffee or milk or whatever? And if you do something like this, like you're reading the newspaper and you're trying to catch up on the sports and you go, tea. She knows you're not in touch. She knows you are not paying attention. And she probably won't go any further with any deeper discussions because she knows she doesn't have your attention. And I know it's hard. Put the paper down, look her in the eye and say, I would like iced tea or whatever. How was your day? Or talk. Because if you don't, what will happen is the phone will ring and you'll answer it and you'll get into this really deep discussion from somebody at work. And it's not going to go over real well, particularly if it's your secretary. And you're really in tune with them, but you're not in tune with her. She needs to be aware of, she needs to know that you're aware of her presence, even though your mind is on other matters. And I've often said, and my kids would tell you it's the same thing, I'll come home, and of course they're all grown now, but I would come home and everybody's coming at me. I had a little rule where I said, give me 15 minutes to decompress after I get into the house before everybody comes. But I will often just sort of mentally check out because I'm thinking in my mind, I've had a tough day. I've listened to 1,000 problems. I've done this. I've done that. This is my space time now. But she's had the same thing going on. So who's supposed to take the lead and say, I'll pay attention. I'll listen. I'll do the dishes. I'll do whatever I need to do. It's us. It's called upon us. We are the ones that are to make the sacrifice in those areas. And it's a hard thing to do. I know it's a hard thing to do, but it's necessary because if you do focus, look, talk, if you do that, she will know that she can now talk to you about other matters. And believe me, there are a lot of other matters that women want to talk about, which I'll get to in a moment, that they are afraid to bring up because they don't think we're at all in tune with what's going on. And marriages begin to slowly drift. You've heard me say that that couples don't walk down the aisle like this. They walk down the aisle already like this. There's already a distance here. We always think, they're so close. They're not. And this is the area that we have to explore in our marriage. And good marriages go this way, and bad marriages go this way. And this is part of it right here, by not being aware of her presence, even though your mind is on other matters. Fourth, she needs to know that she is meeting needs in your life that no other woman can meet. There's the key factor to that. She's meeting needs in your life that no other woman can meet. At this conference, this guy goes, how many of you can name something that your wife is meeting that no other woman can meet? Every hand went up. Some guy goes, my wife's the best cook. And this guy goes, lots of women are good cooks. Hands went down. My wife keeps the neatest house. Nobody could think. These were 1,500 pastors. Nobody could think of needs we were meeting that she was meeting in our lives that no other woman could meet. And if you go through Scripture, it's interesting. There's one that talks about praying together. In 1 Peter, it says that your prayers be not hindered. Your prayers be not hindered. There is a power in praying together. It's different than praying with anybody else. She can instill needs in your children that no other woman can instill. But here's a key one. She can give you the satisfaction of a physical relationship without guilt. Other women can give you the satisfaction of a physical relationship, but there's guilt involved. When your wife knows that she is meeting needs in your life that no other woman can meet, makes her feel, you know, special and makes her feel cared for and loved, and it's really, really important. Because if you give a task to another woman to do that your wife could do, it just drives a stake through her. If she finds that you're really close to your secretary, you're confiding in these, even if there's nothing morally wrong going on there, it's still, she feels left out. And she needs to know that she's really very, very special in this particular arena. Number five, I know we're going through these fast, but I could take a long time in each one of these. But number five, intimate conversation. Your wife needs to know that you desire to have intimate conversation with her. And that means setting time aside to do that. I'm going to spend a little time on this one. If you do not establish a time, maybe at the end of the day, I don't care if it's the end of the week, whatever it is, if you do not establish a time, it doesn't have to be a specific moment, but that it's a priority in your life to take your wife out for dessert, coffee, dinner, once a week, whatever, and find out how she is doing. If you're not doing that on some kind of a regular basis, she starts losing confidence that you really care how she's doing. And believe me, many women are doing far worse than we think they're doing. And I've had some long talks with my wife. I actually took these seven needs out, took my wife out to dinner one night, a number of years back, and I had her grade me from a scale from 1 to 10 on all these needs. Some I did okay on, some I didn't do well on. But what's interesting is their perspective of these and our perspective of these. See, we think we're doing really well, and often that isn't the case. One of the reasons that men so often don't want to sit and have any kind of intimate conversation with their wives is because they're fearful that their wife is going to ask them something and they don't know, they don't have an answer to it. They just don't want to take any more on. But it's absolutely important, it's imperative that she knows you care enough to seek that out. I've had women call me or come into my office and ask me something, and I'll say, "What did your husband say?" And they'll say, "Well, I didn't ask him." "Why didn't you ask him?" "Oh, he wouldn't know." I'm going, "Well, don't ask me. I don't want to be a part of that. You go ask your husband first. I don't care if he's an unbeliever. I want you to go ask him first before you ask me. And then get permission from him to ask me." So it's important. It's important. It's good. It's good leadership. I think I've asked this before, and I'll ask you. On a scale from, if you're grading your marriage on a scale from 1 to 10, and I call 50 couples in to my office, and I say, on a scale from 1 to 10, how's your marriage? Who will grade the highest? I've probably covered this one time. Who will grade the highest? The men. Why will the men grade the highest? Why will men grade the highest? They don't want to admit it's not as good as it could be? Maybe. Pardon? They're not paying attention. Anybody else? They don't know? You don't, in other words, you don't know that we're not doing well. Right. Pardon? Out of touch. Here is a man's view of how his marriage is going. We have a house. I got a job. The kids are doing well. We got a white picket fence around the house. We take a vacation once a year. What else do you want? That's how he grades. That's not how she's grading. Our way of grading is in a circle about this big. This is how we are. We're, you know, pea brains. All right. Outside of that is a world so great you can't even begin to imagine how she's grading. When was the last time you brought me flowers? When was the last time you looked me in the eye and told me you loved me? When was the last time we took a walk? When was the last time we held hands? When was the last time you surprised me with a night away at some? When was the last time you? Her mind is in a completely different world as to how she's grading, and this is a problem, because over a period of time, she's got a mental grade. And I have sat in my office. I don't do much counseling anymore, but I have many times asked that question. And I'll say, how do you think your marriage is? And the husband will go, nine and a half. And I've had women literally say, about a two, maybe a three on a good day. And he goes, what? And I'm seeing this delta here, you know, of quite a bit. I'm saying, somebody's not talking here. You know, something's going on. I think you two need to go out to dinner together, and it's because of how they're grading. So this idea of intimate conversation is absolutely so important for your marriage. Don't let days and weeks go by that you are not drawing your wife out to find out how she is doing. Here's a number six. Protecting her by not allowing her to go beyond her limitations. In other words, a wife, everybody's got limitations. There are things they can and can't do. And it's funny, I was with a couple the other day. I've never known, and every time I go through this material, by the way, with every couple I ever marry, I do this. And I will always ask the husband or both of them, which one do you think is your greatest need? I've never had anybody pick this one, except this past week. I'm doing a wedding, and I was going over some premarital counseling, and this guy said, protecting her beyond her limitations. And then when I asked her, she said, that's the right one. Here's what we mean by that. Some women might be the type that just are very resourceful, can just do a lot of things, and they sort of enjoy stepping out, going out of bounds, doing things. But they might be getting ready to do something you know they're not good at. You don't think they would do well at it. Maybe it's sales, or it could be anything. And as a result, if you let them do it, they're likely to get hurt. Might not be a horrible thing, but they could get a little scarred by it. 1975, 74, 75 time frame, my wife asked me, we're driving up from seeing my parents, no children, and she says to me, I'd like to start a ladies' Bible study at the church. I mean, the church is just getting started. And here's what's going through my mind. She's 21, and I'm thinking she doesn't have a whole lot of experience. And so I said to her, I said, well, you know, you really think you could do that? And she says, don't you think I know enough? Don't you think I could teach? You know, and I said, well, yeah, I'm sure you probably could. I was thinking, no, you probably can't. You've never done this before, and you're going to have women come to you with teenagers asking you all kinds of hard questions, and you're going to get clobbered. I don't know that I said all that, but I was thinking that. So I went ahead and let her take a study. I said, yeah, why don't you go ahead and take a study? I think we made a little announcement in the church, and we only had 50, 60 people come at that time. But she had about six or eight women come to this little study at our apartment. And sure enough, she came back that very first night just overwhelmed with these heavy questions about, you know, being a parent, which she wasn't, and being a wife, which we had just gotten married in 73. And so it was overwhelming. What I didn't do was I didn't put my foot down and say, let's give this a few years. Let's get a little experience. There are other things you can do. If you let your wife step out of bounds, there are times when she can wind up getting wounded by doing that. Even if she wants to do something and she really thinks she can, and you know deep down she probably can't. I had a guy years ago, his wife she wanted to sing a solo. Back when we used to do a lot of that way, way back. And I'd heard her sing before, and I knew this was not going to go over well. And so he comes to me, and he says to me, you need to tell my wife that she can't do this. And I said, I'm not her husband. You tell her. He goes, I got to live with it if I tell her. I said, well, we'll get this. This guy was handing up some of our music at the time. I said, hey, Mark, would you? He goes, listen, I've heard her sing. It just brings tears to your eyes. Boy, does it bring tears to your eyes. He said, actually, she carries a tune real well, and all of a sudden it just goes off into outer space. I don't recall who it was, but somebody sat her down and said, this is not a good thing. Because had she done that, and there had been snickers or whatever out in the audience or people, you know, dying, it could have really done some damage. It was easier for somebody to pull her aside. I don't know who the brave person was that did it. But that's the way Simon Cowell. It was awful, absolutely awful. So it's that kind of thing. But I was surprised. This guy said, yeah, this is my wife's, his fiance's greatest one. I was very, very surprised at that. Last one is this. Continuing to build into her life. In other words, allowing her to do things that she was able to do prior to getting married. Going out with some her girlfriends for a cup of coffee, or maybe she likes to run or work out or what have you. Continuing to allow her to extend her life in these different areas. Now, that's just a quick run through. Here's what I want from you guys. Now, when we look at this section here where it talks about, you know, when Pat made the statement that they tend to take to respond to what we do, if we want to win the argument, they'll want to do the same. Listen to this verse. We love him because he first loved us. See the response there? And that's the same way it is for us. We love Christ because he first loved us, gave himself for us. And a man who sacrifices for his wife, you're going to get that response. If it's the other way around, if you've always got to win, if you've always got to have everything going your way, it just brings about a lot of contention in the home. So here is, can you all read these? Can you see these up here? You can't see it at all? All right. Here, okay, let me just run through them. You pick, each guy is going to decide which one is the greatest need for your wife, in your opinion. She needs the direction of a spiritual leader. She desires to be cherished. You need to cherish your wife. She is aware, you need to be aware of her presence, even though your mind is on other matters. You're meeting needs, and she's meeting needs in your life that no other woman can meet. She enjoys intimate conversation. Don't allow her to go beyond her limitations and continuing to build into her life. And then I'm going to be interested in knowing if there's a common denominator theme in here. And if you also want another one, go on to the one that I mentioned a moment ago where I said, how would you grade, who would grade the highest? If you want to have, if you get through this, you have enough time to get through this one, delve into that one again as to why men grade higher than women. Really work that one. Because I think you'll find out.
Or better yet, delve into why you think your situation is better than what your wife thinks.
There you go. That's good. All right, guys.